From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into the podcast, the World Series edition. We have so much to talk about. I'm your host, Rob Parker, and coming up on the podcast, we'll talk with former Major League outfielder Eric Davis, also from the Bleacher Report, one of the best MLB columnists, Scott Miller. He joins us. That plus foul or fair. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Yes, everybody should be loving L.A. I know, except for people in Tampa Bay were hurt. But the L.A. Dodgers finally won the World Series. This team has been loaded for years. We've been talking about it. Nothing but disappointment and heartbreak. And instead, on the third try in 4 years at the World Series, the Dodgers franchise finally wins its first World Series championship since 1988. Stars all over the place. Corey Seager, who was the World Series MVP, deserved it, batted 400, and was incredible because he won the National League Championship Series MVP and also the World Series MVP. He had two home runs, five RBIs, six walks. He was a monster. Clayton Kershaw, who we know has been dragged through the mud, and rightfully so for his poor performance in the postseason, he finally got his first World Series championship. He went 2-0 in the World Series, winning two of the four games that the Dodgers won with a 2.31 ERA and struck out 14, only walked three. So, that's another feather in the cap right there. Dave Roberts, the long-suffering manager, he gets it done as well. His first World Series championship. And L.A. continues to celebrate. They saw LeBron James and the Lakers win a championship. And now here in 2020, it's the Dodgers. This is the second time, the last time it happened, the Dodgers and the Lakers winning a championship. It goes back to 1988. And I'm going to say this. As a person new to living in Los Angeles, I believe the Dodgers are bigger than the Lakers in Los Angeles. Yes, I said it. I really believe it. The Dodgers have such an imprint on this community.
Number two.
Boo on Justin Turner. I'm sorry. He gets pulled from the game because his COVID test finally comes back positive, and I get it. Oh, my goodness. Imagine the dilemma of you winning a World Series that you've put out blood, sweat, and tears, and then the time comes to celebrate. If you came out of the game and out of the dugout and had to isolate, how could you go back on the field and celebrate with your teammates with no mask? What? I get it. 35 years old. You've waited for this moment all your life. And you go back out and you celebrate. And you know what? I'm not going to be. Major League Baseball put out a stern statement about it. And I'm with baseball. I think, and here's a piece of it. Quote, while a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk, end quote. MLB is right on the money. It just was selfish. You can't do it, especially when baseball did such a great job and all the players to keep everybody COVID free for such a long time, the entire playoffs, and then to run out there. That was a mistake, and Justin Turner should not have done it.
Number three.
I'm sorry. I know people want to pat the Tampa Bay Rays on the back. What a great job, a small payroll, all the analytics worked and all this other stuff, and try to make the Tampa Bay Rays feel good about where they are and how they came up runners up in their second World Series. But I'm going to tell you this. This should be a history lesson that analytics just doesn't get you to win a World Series. We saw it with the Oakland A's and Billy Beane for 30 years and what he did there. They never were able to get there or even, you know, advance in the postseason. And then again, analytics had a big cause or big reason on why manager Kevin Cash pulled out Blake Snell, his ace, in a 1-0 game after a hit because the numbers told him so. I'm not buying the analytics and the cheap roster. I don't think you can win a World Series that way. The best players come through, not some stat sheet or printout, and talking about a guy hitting in May and June and trying to say that that's going to work in October. I'm not buying it.
Number 4.
And stop the talk about the Dodgers and a dynasty. My goodness. Really? They have a lot of free agents coming up. The people, the Dodgers, have to figure out what they're going to do. And I'm just going to warn you. There's a team south of L.A. in San Diego, the Padres, with Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Mike Clevinger, and other young players who are coming. So stop with the Dodgers dynasty. To me, this could be the end of the Dodgers window, really, of them winning. I know everybody automatically thinks they're going to win again, but I'm not buying it.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast former major leaguer, one of the best center fielders I ever saw play baseball, Eric Davis, Eric the Red. Welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
P, I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Man, doing great. It is the World Series.
Good.
Yeah, man, I feel good. I'm no complaints, my man. You know that. Let's talk about the World Series. And you know what it feels like to win a World Series because you did it in 1990 with the Reds. Just give me your thoughts on the Dodgers ending that 32-year drought.
Well, first you got to give the Dodgers a whole lot of credit for bringing Mookie Betts to the team because they have gone to the World Series in the playoffs 6, 7, 8 years in a row, the World Series a few times, and coming up short to recognize that you do need something. Most teams that are in that position don't think that they can get better or they need a piece. So you give them credit for making that move for Mookie because he is and was the missing link. He took a lot of pressure off of everybody else offensively with his ability to do the things that we witnessed, and you watched all 5 of his tools come into play in various parts of the postseason. And having him at the top really ignited them with his base running, his ability to steal bases, his ability to score on outs, on plays that should have been outs where the average person on that team in the past wouldn't have scored. So that was the first thing. The second thing is they feed off each other. I mean, they played well. They hit well. If you're looking at what they did with 2 outs and 2 strikes, and you just don't get that when you're talking about the best pitchers in the game, and normally you have that during the postseason. So their ability to grind and stay within the science of what they was trying to accomplish was phenomenal. I think they got a little lucky with their pitching, with the bullpen jobs and those kind of things. If you look at Kershaw was steady, Walker Buehler was phenomenal, and then they got fill-ins. So I thought they was lucky there. But they played baseball and they won the championship.
Let's speak about Kershaw. I mean, we know he's probably the best pitcher of this generation. His numbers speak for themselves, ED, 2.44 career ERA. But in the postseason, it was 2 runs higher. And, you know, the Dodgers hadn't been able to win. And a lot, Kershaw had some clunkers in the postseason, but this time in the World Series, he won 2 games. What does that do for his legacy and how people look at Kershaw this time?
Well, I think Justin Verlander would argue that. I think Scherzer would argue that. If you're looking at the years that Verlander had in this generation, he's won MVPs, he won multiple Cy Youngs. and he's won titles. So Scherzer, the same thing. So he's not that guy that you can say he was the best guy in his era. But his ability to keep the Dodgers at, in the game was huge for his psyche. Watching him make the pitches and make the outs that he needed to get. I honestly just think that the postseason is about matchups, and I thought he had an advantage over the right-hand hitters that he was facing. So you have to give him credit for doing what he did. But if you look at almost every start he had, he was an out, a swing, a double play away from people talking about he was at it again. So I'm just grateful for him that it didn't go that way, and he was able to get through what he needed to get through for his legacy. But I don't think his legacy will ever, in the postseason, outshadow what he did for the regular season, because it's just not even close to him dominating and having a 1-point-some ERA and 20-some wins and the things that he had prior to the postseason.
No doubt. Our guest is Eric Davis, who is in the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame, 2-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner. ED, how surprised are you that baseball made it through, for the most part, after the early COVID positive tests? They went a long time with no one getting positive and played through a 60-game season, all the playoffs. Are you shocked that baseball was able to get a season in?
Not really shocked. I'm more shocked of not having anybody test positive all the way up until Justin Turner did, and not really having to cancel so many different games and different things of that nature. We had some instances where if you had some flare-ups and some things of that nature, but it was just like anything else. Nobody knew what to expect. You couldn't really use the NBA, when I know a lot of parallels was trying to compare the NBA. When you're talking about you can put a floor anywhere and you can put a rim anywhere, you're talking about maybe 25 guys to a team, and you're talking about almost 60 guys on the baseball team when everybody's playing, is apples and oranges. But to have it in their cities and have these guys travel, you didn't really know what was going to happen, but for them to get through it was amazing. You got to give the players a lot of credit because of the sacrifices that they had to make. Because when you live that life, you're used to doing what you want to, eating where you want to, move how you want to, and now you can't. And it's like, okay, who's gonna go against this and not give a damn and stuff? But you saw everybody, especially the postseason, they saw what was at stake, and it was a beautiful thing to watch them get through it.
No doubt. What about you mentioned Justin Turner? You know, obviously he came out of the game, tested, his results came through. He had tested positive. Was it a bad look for him to be celebrating maskless with his teammates? I know it's a big moment. You just win the World Series. You don't want to isolate, but to put your teammates at risk after knowing you're positive, was that a good look or not?
No, that's not a good look. And you know, people are going to voice their opinion on what should happen and who should do what, when, where, and how. And it's all fine until there's repercussions that come up and people ask themselves, was it really worth it? And the answer, when you're talking about the possibility of dying or infecting someone and not know the outcome, me being maskless is not worth it. Me being able to take some pictures with the trophy, I did all that. And I'm one of those guys who was in the hospital when we won. So, you know, I was itching to be able to take a picture. I was in ICU with a torn kidney for almost 2 months. So I know what missing feels like, and you never want anybody to miss that. But at what cost? I just don't think that it was the right thing to do. I think they could have isolated him a little bit and put him out there and let him do that. And then if they wanted to do that privately inside the clubhouse and guys gave him whatever they wanted to give him, I think they could have did it a better way.
No doubt. All right. Hey, last thing, you're a Los Angeles native. You know, the Lakers won the championship. Now the Dodgers, this is like 1988 all over again. How special is it for Los Angeles to be the sports capital of the United States right now?
I kind of got mixed emotions about it because of everything that's going on in 2020, and having to go through the trials and tribulations as a country. Sports is always a way of making people forget about things, but I just don't know how you really view it when you're talking about how it had to come to pace. And having been in the bubble, and you heard so many different things about the bubble, and so many different players talked about not being able to do certain things and not having the adversity, and should it be an asterisk? I don't know. But if you're from LA and you want to see a championship, is this really what we're used to? Nobody's really used to a team being crowned in a bubble and not being able to be at the Forum when Magic was doing it at Staples Center, when Kobe and Shaq were doing what they were doing, and then Kobe by himself, and then the Lakers in 88 with the crowd and the Vince Scully call. We missed all of that. So to what degree is it the same? It's not the same, but the results are the same, and everybody looked at 32 years, and now the Lakers and the Dodgers are champions in the same year. So I'm quite sure the city going to ride with it because everybody's been talking about it. So I'm an Arizonian now, but I'm from L.A. from the heart and stuff like that. And
yep.
I go back to Jack King Cook and stuff, you know, so I'm a real Laker. I'm not a Laker fan where people have jumped on the bandwagon and stuff and all that kind of stuff. I remember when Jim McMillan and Happy Harrison was playing, you know what I'm saying? So that's what kind of Laker fan I am. So anytime that the Lakers can win and the Dodgers can win, I don't root for the Dodgers, but I root for the Lakers.
No doubt. The former Dodger himself, who played with the Dodgers in 92 and 93. His name, Eric Davis. ED, thanks for the knowledge, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Rocky. Anytime, baby. Take care of yourself.
You too.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, the World Series is in the books with the Dodgers taking home their first title in 32 years, and it certainly was historic. L.A. set a postseason record with 59 two-out runs, 44 two-strike runs, and their 5.6 runs per game and 30 homers were both National League records. Randy Rosarena set the world on fire with 10 homers, 29 hits, and 64 total bases, all setting MLB records for a single postseason. But the big story coming out of Game 6 was Rays manager Kevin Cash taking out starter Blake Snell after cruising through 5 1/3 innings while striking out 9. Snell threw just 73 pitches, and the Dodgers' top four hitters, Betts, Seager, Turner, and Muncy, went a combined 1-for-16 with 11 strikeouts in the series against Snell, though he was removed before facing those guys a third time in Game 6. Now, against all other Rays starters in the series, those four guys hit .353 with 4 homers, 9 RBI, and only 7 strikeouts. We also saw one of the largest plays in terms of win probability added in postseason history in Brett Phillips' walk-off in Game 4. In fact, as far as the win probability graph for the game goes, it looked like a mountain range the entire game, by the way. The win probability added for Phillips' hit was 81%, the highest for any play in any postseason game since Kurt Gibson stepped to the plate in the 9th inning of Game 1 in 1988. Homering off Dennis Eckersley. Gibson's historic Tater had a win probability added of 87%, the highest mark of any one play in postseason history. It was an amazing playoff run. Now let's hope we never have to do it like this ever again.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, JR, is it foul or fair to suggest that the Major League Baseball World Series champions should have an asterisk by their names because of the COVID-shortened season, was missing 102 games?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
Despite the unprecedented nature of the season, getting all your players to the finish line healthy, minus Justin Turner, of course, and being able to win the whole ball of wax is impressive and memorable. There were no fans. There were a couple of weird rule changes, and the season was shortened. But Mookie Betts won another World Series for black baseball, and Dave Roberts finally got that albatross from around his neck, and he, along with Dusty Baker, showed that black managers matter. The rise of Rays rookie Randy Arozarena and the way the Dodgers winning a few weeks after the Lakers won just makes you appreciate Magic Johnson's multifaceted executive leadership and ownership even more. So black baseball owners matter too. And how fitting that in the year which MLB players acknowledge the racial movement in America by supporting its players and in the 100th anniversary celebration of the Negro League, that Jackie Robinson's team, the Dodgers, win the World Series. All the huge stars played and got paid, and COVID couldn't ruin the day. Nah, I'm counting this one, and MLB should too.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This tweet comes from Maz in Detroit, and he tweeted me this. Remember when Tom Kelly took the ball from Jack Morris in the sixth inning? Kevin Cash is the GOAT in a bad way. The only way TB was going to win that game was 1-0, and Snell would have had to go on the distance. At least talk to your guy first. We should be watching Game 7 on Wednesday. What a sin. Thanks for nothing, Kevin Cash. Hashtag cashed out. Hashtag overmanaged. That's right. If you want to be on Trash Talking, hit me up on my Twitter like Maz did, at RobParkerFS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome in Scott Miller, of course, from the National Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report and SiriusXM MLB Network radio analyst. And Scott, thanks for joining us. And you covered the World Series. You were there. Just give me your initial thoughts. The Dodgers on paper looked like the team to win the World Series, and they got it done.
Yeah, they did. I thought, you know, if you play that old baseball parlor game where you take the two teams and you go position by position, first base, Dodgers, Rays, who's better? Second base, third base, all the way around. You do that, the Dodgers by far were the better team. I think they were more accomplished, deeper, stronger, on and on. Credit to the Rays. They got to the sixth game of the World Series by basically, being the sum is greater than the parts kind of a play. And they gave the Dodgers, there are a couple moments in the World Series where they gave the Dodgers a scare. You know, they evened the series after two games. And then, of course, the fabulous game Saturday night that ended with Brett Phillips acting like a human airplane. The game, that first World Series game in history, that were a walk-off play, included two fielding errors by the other team. Moments like that are what set various World Series apart from others. Overall, this wasn't necessarily a classic World Series. Six games. Dodgers led most of the way. But, I think, better team won without a doubt.
No doubt. I think you're right about that game four. That is what made this World Series memorable. Otherwise, you're right, it would have just been a run of the mill. How many have you covered now, Scott? I know I was in Arlington, Texas with you for some of those games. We talked about it. How many years now have you covered the World Series?
Yeah, you and I did. It was a nice visit. Nice to see you in Arlington. And, yeah, we had a dinner together in the press box before one of the games. That was outstanding. I have covered now. This is my 26th World Series. So I think I got to add up the exact numbers, but it's like 147 consecutive World Series games, something like that. So I've been fortunate. I've been blessed. Seen a lot of memorable things in the last 26 years worth of World Series.
Who benefits the most from this? I mean, there's a lot of people whose careers and legacies were on the line when you talk about the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, of course. Dave Roberts, who, you know, as manager, had the Dodgers not gotten it done, there would have been a lot of questions. This team has won 8 straight National League West titles. They were en route to being maybe the MLB's Buffalo Bills, right, had they lost this. But they won it. And who comes out looking pretty good now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Dodgers needed to get this done. You know, I mean, not just – you kept hearing about Oral Hershiser and Kirk Gibson and those guys going all the way back to 1988. The Dodgers hadn't won a World Series in 32 years. But it wasn't just an organizational thing. It stretched back 32 years. It was even recent years. This was the Dodgers' third World Series in the past 4 years. And you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. You know, they dropped this one. That's exactly, you know, who they would have been classified with, you know, the team that kept getting there and could never get the job done. So, you know, I think, you know, the thing that I liked about the Dodgers winning it, the core of that team's been together now for several years. So you could really appreciate, you know, if you watched them over the past several years and if you covered them, you know, the Clayton Kershaws, the Justin Turners, the Cody Bellingers, the Corey Seegers, you know, the Kenley Jansons, on and on. You know, there's so many of those players that have come so close. You know, it's not like they changed the team up every 2 years. You know, the bulk of that team came so close in 17 and 18. So, you know, I think you know, unless you're a Rays fan or you're maybe a Giants fan, or your heart is completely calloused, you have to feel good for the Dodgers overall. But, yeah, within that, Clayton Kershaw, I would say, especially needed this because, you know, his reputation, for a three-time Cy Young winner who's going to be a Hall of Famer, his reputation has taken a beating in October, and there's so many people fall into that knee-jerk stretch now where they don't even give him credit for what he's done for the bulk of his career. You know, they hear Clayton Kershaw, oh, yeah, the guy that never could get it done in October. So I think he really needed this. And like Dave Roberts said late last night, Rob, he said, you know, Clayton Kershaw from forever on will be known now as a World Series winner and a Hall of Famer when that day comes. And nobody can ever take that away. And that's going to trump every other, you know, a criticism of him. And then behind Clayton Kershaw, I think Dave Roberts, you know, I mean, managers, I think in this era of the internet and Twitter, you know, managers, almost all of them take a beating now in October. Even the smartest ones that win, they'll have a couple games earlier in the World Series where people are like, you're an idiot. Why'd he do this? Why'd he do that? Dave Roberts certainly had his moments, you know, and you know, even in this World Series, you know, Rob, Saturday night, you know, before the crazy walk-off, you know, Dave Roberts had Pedro Baez in the game in the sixth inning, and then Baez got through the inning, and Dave Roberts said, good job. You know, basically your night is done. Then the Dodgers took the lead in the top of the seventh, and Roberts told Baez to go back in there, and Baez got lit up, and you can't do that. I mean, so Roberts wasn't perfect this World Series, but he, you know, he too, I think, is vindicated by finally winning.
Our guest is Scott Miller, national baseball columnist for the Bleacher Report. And Scott, the other one is Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, who took out Blake Snell. And a lot of people, Twitter went crazy, and people were like, this dude is dealing. But he made the move, and, you know, Tampa Bay's one of their strengths is their bullpen, and they let the team down. Where were you on that move and when the move was made?
I'm glad you asked it in that way, Rob. When the move was made, in the moment, real time, I was saying, no, don't do this. You're screwing this up. I'm that to me was a moment where baseball's gone way too far down the spreadsheet lane with numbers and overanalyzing things. I know that's the way Tampa Bay does things, and Kevin Cash said that after the game. I understand that they've got to be a little different to have success, but Blake Snell was so good, and the top three batters in the Dodgers order, Mookie Betts, Justin Turner, Corey Seager, they were 0 for 6, not just 0 for 6, but they were 6 strikeouts against Blake Snell. None of the Dodgers' best hitters could touch him. And yet, little Austin Barnes, the number 9 hitter, gets a single, and when the lineup turns over to go to those guys for the third time, immediately Kevin Cash pulled Snell. And I just think I don't think most baseball fans like the game to be played this way. I do know my phone started blowing up right away from texts from friends and even my father, who was watching the game, and I'm getting these angry texts like, what are they doing? You know, I mean, part of the pleasure of baseball is watching a guy like Blake Snell, a starter, when he's on. And if you're now we've reached a point where you make moves in anticipation that something bad might happen. It hadn't happened yet, and you know, people say, "Well, yeah, but you know, Blake Snell's numbers in the fifth and sixth inning." Well, yeah, but on the flip side, it hadn't happened yet, and the bullpen's been great, but Anderson had given up runs in his last 6 postseason appearances, and now make it 7 because the game turned as soon as he brought him in, and that's. The other quick point I want to make, Rob, is the numbers are the numbers. I get it. But you've also got to have a sense of baseball and a feel for baseball because the numbers change just like people change from week to week to week. I may not be the same person I was a week ago, and I won't be the same next week. Anderson, 30 or 40 games into the year, granted, he was untouchable. He was great. But you get into October, he's thrown so many high-leverage pitches. As I said, he gave up runs the past 6 appearances. So when Kevin Cash made the move with Blake Snell last night, he wasn't calling on the Anderson from August or September. He was calling on a different Anderson. So all those numbers he was looking at end up, to a degree, being useless because it's a different guy, because it's a different point of the season.
No doubt about that. His name is Scott Miller, one of the best baseball writers in the country for the Bleacher Report. Scott, man, great seeing you at the World Series. And somehow, some way, we got through a baseball season, and it was fun.
It was. It was good for the country. Just having games on television at night to give people a couple hours of enjoyment, taking their mind off all the serious stuff that we've got going on. So hopefully things get better soon. Great seeing you in Arlington, Rob. Always fun when I do.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's reason number 150 why baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL. The reaction from baseball fans after the Dodgers won the World Series. People were crying. Fans were crying, boo-hooing. A generation had gone by, 32 years. So many people had never seen their team, the Dodgers, win. I didn't even know what kind of baseball town this was from afar until I moved to Los Angeles. They packed the ballpark with 4 million fans. Everybody says this is a Laker town. I'm not positive of that. This is a Dodger town. People love the Dodgers. They live and die with the Dodgers. And they finally got the championship they had coveted. And they let their emotions go. You don't see that often in sports. I don't know how many people would have boo-hooed if the Rams would have won that Super Bowl against the Patriots or how many people really boo-hooed after the Lakers won. You know, they were happy. They were happy for LeBron and Anthony Davis, but this was different. This was special. This was a part of Los Angeles and the fabric of this community. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.